You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any other announcements? Now we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Revelation today, chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were likened to horses, prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, I'm in the last week now of our summer semester, and I'll be finishing up this Friday with a final exam, and then we've got a couple of weeks off where I might get a little breather before we have the fall semester begin. So it's been a busy summer for me, but it's been an enjoyable one, and I was able to meet a whole lot of different people and enjoyed the time and met some good students. I had some good students just recently, which is nice to see, and the weather being very, very interesting, although at times extremely hot. There was one day I got out of the car. This is about 10 o'clock in the morning. And this is at OU. It was a really hot day, and I found myself running from tree to tree, you know, to get inside. And man, it was hot. So it can be like that. I was saying to Seppi, you know, the weather here in the States can be really beautiful. And sometimes you look out at it, and it looks really nice. But of course, when you actually go into the atmosphere of it, you can't really tolerate it for very, very long. But it's a very pretty thing to look at through the windows, and we certainly have been enjoying it, having lots of walks and at times through the woods, which has been really nice. Well, let's pray. Oh God and Father, we thank thee again for this time we've got together. We pray, Lord, as we open the scriptures, we'd learn and be encouraged, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've got a really unusual title here, UFOs and their inhabitants. Now, there was a time when to even publicly say that you believed in UFOs would be, you know, you'd be snickers and this sort of thing. However, during this time, there have been, over these years where things have been discussed about UFOs, there have been some really smart people who have been informed about UFOs from a far more technical and scientific point of view, and they have written about these things. There's a man called, just recently passed away, a man called Stanton Friedman, who was a nuclear physicist, and he wrote extensively about UFOs. There's Jacques Vallée, still alive. He's a French guy who's writing from a more scientific point of view, has been investigating UFOs. Richard Dolan, more or less a historian, writing from a much more academic point of view. Very good books he's written. Other people also, Timothy Good. A lot of people who have been documenting from a historic point of view and also from recent history, things to do with this strange, bewildering topic of UFOs. And now what we've got is we've got congressional meetings taking place where various spokesmen have come forward, whistleblowers coming forward and saying things that just sound unbelievable. And we have Navy pilots, for example, coming forward with photographic evidence, which is quite striking, really. Quite striking evidence coming forward. You all would have seen something like this probably on Fox News and some of the other networks. And this David Fravor here is at the moment giving evidence to in congressional meetings about UFOs. And this is the kind of image that they're getting on their devices. And if you see this thing in movie format, which I invite you to do if you haven't seen it, it's very strange, because there will be various readouts giving the speed of these things, which sometimes is huge speeds, and then rotating, for example. So you'll see the device might look like this, typical sort of a saucer shape. And this is going through air, right? It's not in a vacuum. It's going through air. There's no vapor trails. There's no wings to speak of. And it will rotate as it's moving along. It will just rotate around, and make all kinds of unusual movements that tell you that this is definitely not what we understand to be a conventional craft. Craft as we know it, as it goes through some sort of air, will need to create lift. We need some sort of airfoil, some sort of wing to produce lift. This is not so with these things. And they're not only of one kind. There are UFOs that come shaped like cylinders, like cigars. Some like eggs. They don't come in the same shape. And witnesses come in all sorts as well. They are not simply people who come rushing outside after drinking a few whiskeys and say, I saw something. No, these would be trained observers, policemen, policewomen, naval officers, people who are trained observers see these things. There was one very interesting case concerning Japanese airlines. Now, you know that some airlines will fly across the North Pole and going around the world. Well, there was a Japanese airline, and it was one of these big 747 things, fully loaded with people, and this pilot encountered what he calls a massive UFO. It wasn't just some little small little grain in the sky, but just some massive thing. And he describes it still kind of like this kind of shape, but massive. So all kinds of things. There was one just recently described where it went into the water. So they observed this thing going all kinds of weird movements. That's the other thing about them. They don't seem to be obeying the laws of physics as we understand the laws of physics. They do right-hand turns and sudden movements and go from one place to the next in just a split second, which means you would expect some massive acceleration in these turns and these movements, which if the inhabitants were like us, they would be splattered against the wall. You know, there would be nothing left of them. And they go underwater. They go underwater, and it doesn't seem to be any change in speed as they enter the water. Well, this needs explanation. So I think we can say that these things do exist. I think there's pretty good evidence they exist. One thing you could say today is, well, they're just made by Boeing and Skunk Works, and some of these companies have come up with some technology and they're just trying them out. The only problem with that is that these things have been around in history. If you go back far enough, you'll find sightings made by the Romans, for example. So these things seem to have been around for a long, long time. And I think some people would therefore say, well, yes, that's because we are being visited by beings from another world, right? And the presupposition from that is evolution, right? So let's see how this is often fed into this. Okay, so if you accept the premise of evolution, then the basic story goes like this. You know, 4.6 million billion years ago, the Earth was formed, and it was some kind of soupish thing with rocks and mud and boiling pools of chemicals, and there was lightning coming into this pool, and then suddenly the first cell emerged by accident, you see. Of course, this has a lot of problems, because all the abiogenesis labs that are trying to produce life, they end up having to break all the rules and introduce things themselves, and then introduce new things and introduce things. And so far, no, it doesn't happen. Life doesn't happen. But nonetheless, this is the story, right? This is the story that our children are taught in public schools, right? Which is just nonsense. But anyway, this is it. And then once by chance processes and abiogenesis, outside of biology, just raw chemicals, life came about by chance. And then from there went this process of evolution. Right? Evolution. So by this process of evolution, supposedly life began. Well, if that is true, if that is truly the way life began here on Earth, then if you look out into the vastness of the universe, not only do you see lots of planets, you see lots of galaxies. The galaxies are everywhere out there, galaxies and galaxies, and in there all kinds of systems of stars. And therefore, very likely that there's going to be places within the universe which would be similar to that of the Earth. And if life began on Earth by chance, then, of course, it would happen in other places of the universe as well. And therefore, the UFOs are a manifestation of the truth of evolution, because in some other planets out there, life has been generated by chance, and these UFOs, which we have seen through our history, are simply manifestations of these more advanced societies visiting us here on this Earth. Now, I have a few problems with that. First of all, there is a premise which has yet to be proven. And it's not proven, and we know it's wrong and false. And since life didn't begin on this planet by evolution and chance processes, why do you presuppose it's going to happen anywhere else? You see, it sort of blows it out of the water, doesn't it, that whole premise. Then there's the other thing. There's another thing, and that is, if you look at the heads of the creatures that supposedly have been found, and I believe they have been found, right? I don't deny it. But if you look at them, they have this humanoid, I know it's bug-like, I know they've got big eyes and all this sort of stuff, but they do have two eyes. They do have a nose. They do have a mouth. They do have ears. So you're trying to tell me that some planet way out there just so happens that these things came out with two eyes, just like us, and a nose and a mouth? Really? That's kind of interesting, don't you think? Wouldn't it be more likely that this is an expression of some sort of DNA which is akin to our DNA, Don't you think that's more likely the situation? Now, if you just go across to Revelation, right? Revelation chapter number 9. We read here about these angels sounding. And in chapter 8 it says in verse 7, the first angel sounded and there followed hail, fire. In verse 8, and the second angel sounded. In verse 10, and the third angel sounded. There fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And then in verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon. So all kinds of things like this is going on. Astronomical things happening, very frightening things coming onto the earth. And then in chapter 9, in verse 1, and the fifth angel sounded. And this is the part where I think we can start to see some very interesting happenings. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him, this star is a him, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Well, if it needs a key, it means it's not open at that time. It's shut. So this star, angelic being, comes and then unlocks something. And he opened the bottomless pit. It was closed prior to this. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts unto the earth. And these locusts have tremendous power. And it says in verse 4, and it was commanded then that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So these things are now going to be used by God to bring about some judgment on the rebellion that's going on in the earth. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Well, for God to be using this means that these men must be involved with some pretty big wickedness on this earth. Right? That's my conclusion, that God would do such a thing. It must mean that they are in deservant judgment. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. It's a terrible thing, isn't it, to want to die. You're in such torment, you want to die, and you can't die. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. So these are reserved, right? They are reserved. They're in this bottomless pit. And you notice the location. It says right in verse 1 of chapter 9, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. So it comes to the earth, and in some location in the earth is the bottomless pit. And he opens the bottomless pit. That means to me that there are subterranean regions in the earth. What do you want me to make out of this, friends? And I know the Bible is a wild book. It really is. Okay, let's just read on a little bit. It describes them, and they're fascinating things about the, in verse 10. They had tails like unto scorpions. Verse 11, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Verse 13, here it comes, and the sixth angel sounded. This is the sixth. Number of man, rebellion. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God. Remember, all of that stuff that goes on the earth and especially in relationship to the building of the tabernacle, its typology, and the meaning of that typology, is comes from a pattern which was taken from the temple in heaven. And it says, "And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels," wait a minute, "which are bound," where? Are they're bound in the heavenly places, are they? Where are they bound? No. Again, earth, "which are bound in the great river Euphrates." That's where they're bound. "And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men." Whoa, man. Now we're talking about some serious stuff. And again, these angels come out of some sort of subterranean region associated with the river Euphrates. Oh, man. And it goes on. And it says in verse 16, "And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. Whoa, 200. Okay, I know what that is. Thousand. That's a million, isn't it? 200 million? Whoa. "And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone." Why am I reading this? I'm reading this to tell you that the idea of subterranean regions, the bottomless pit, and other subterranean regions, such as the Euphrates River, there are beings. There are beings, and they'll be there now. I don't see anywhere in the scriptures to say, oh, now, this is the time when these things were put in there. They are there now, right? They're there now. Okay, cool. Now, there's more to read here about what they do. But how does this feed into this whole UFO thing? Well, remember what we did. We read about this whole business of the angels, which were not the angel of God. The angels of God are obedient. They have certain moral compasses which they are obedient to. They do not marry. They're not given in marriage. But we read how those that went against God's will, they left their own habitation. Right? That is, they left their own body that was given to them by God. And through their own powers, which were given to them, they left those bodies and they did something. They cohabited with women and they produced men of renown, the Nephilim, the giants. And there were giants in the land, right? And when the spies went out, what did they say? They said, "We are just grasshoppers in their sight." And so we were in their sight. We felt like we were grasshoppers in their sight. And they looked at us and said, "Yeah, you are grasshoppers in our sight too." They really were little tiny little things in their sight. How did these giants come about? It had to do with a change in the seed, in the DNA structure. Right? That's how it happened. We know that there are subterranean regions. How do we know? Just proved it to you. We know it from the scriptures. We know that there are ranks of angels that defected. There are principalities and powers who defected. There are wickedness. There's areas of wickedness in heavenly places. We know that's the case. The translators translated as high places. But that's the heavenly places. There. Okay, cool. Well, okay, we'll accept the instruction. You notice when the Bible talks about things, it often makes reference to the heaven, and it says, "Thou hast made heaven the heaven of heavens. The heaven of heavens. There are different realms in the heavenly places. That was from Nehemiah. Notice also how the reference to the earth is given. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And we understand this is part of our coinage and how we speak in English and in earth. But I want you to see how this is written in the Greek text. It says, in heaven and upon earth. Epi, upon. You know, when Jesus walked on water, the preposition upon, epi, upon. See? Upon. Look at this here. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, God's will is actively taking place in heaven, so in earth. Now, notice it says, so in earth. That's our common way of speaking in English. But I want you to notice how it's written in the Greek text. And epi, tes, ges. And upon the earth. And upon the earth. Now, there are cases where reference can be made to the earth with the preposition in earth. But many times there is a contrast. I want you to see this. I am amazed at this. Look at Philippians 2. Let's go there now, just so we get it from some context. Because when Paul is speaking about how we should run the race as Christians, then Philippians is the book. I mean, he mentioned this in other books as well, but Philippians is almost completely dedicated, and he uses Jesus Christ as the ultimate example and also his own life as an example. But look at this in Philippians chapter 2. It says this, after talking about how he brought, Jesus brought himself down from his great glory and his the great place of eminence, wherefore, in verse 9, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth. Now, here, of things in heaven and epigaion. You see the preposition epi is in the word. Things upon the earth. And katekthonion. Katekthonion. What does that mean? It means subterranean. Literally, it means subterranean. And things subterranean. We've already got evidence that there are beings that are going to come out of subterranean regions. There are, and they're not all the same, right? They're not all the same subterranean regions. There's not just one. This is the subterranean region. No, no. There are different places around the earth where this will take place from. Well, what do commentators say about, well, these are dead people. It's just nonsense, friends. Just nonsense. Dead is dead for human beings. We are not spirit beings. When we die, we're dead. We wait for the resurrection. We don't go to the subterranean regions and fly around in subterranean regions. No. This exists where things, creatures exist. And they will have to bow the knee at the name of Jesus. Those creatures will have to bow the knee. Okay. So what I'm about to say is just from my own perspective and what I can say by putting things together as possibility speaking, right? These things here stink. What do we know about them? Yeah, they literally stink. They smell like sulfur. That's what people say. They stink. They are strange-looking things. They're like very skinny things. And their fingers are long and skinny. Those are called what people call the grays. Why? Because their skin is gray. They're gray. That's their color. Are these the only things that are seen? No. They're not the only things that are seen associated with these craft. There are what they call Nordics as well. They look very much like us. Very much like us. And they have slightly bigger forehead here. And some say they've got blue eyes and blonde hair and all this kind of stuff. They look very much like humans. If they walked in here, you would just say they're human beings. Nordics. All kinds of shapes. Some are giants. Some, like these, are very small, like little kids. What's going on? What we know is that the angels that fell messed with the chromosomes of humankind, right? We know that. Here is another thing we can put together. I don't know whether you've heard about this. And this is really weird, and it's a fact. That's the other thing. You check it out. Check it out. The other thing that's going on is that there is what's called a strange harvest. Strange harvest is going on. And that pertains to animals. What happens to the animals? Well, they're otherwise healthy, and then the next day they're found, or their bodies are found, no blood in them, and parts of their bodies are removed, like a whole ear will be incised. It's almost like it's been removed with some sort of laser cut, absolutely smooth cut. Their udders, in the case of cows, will be completely removed. Sometimes they will be split in half and their organs removed. No blood. No blood at all around where it happens. The pictures. Have a look at the pictures. The pictures of them. Unbelievable. The preciseness of it. And so what some farmers thought might be happening is that there must be some strange cult coming in that takes the animals and so on. But the trouble with that thing is it's happening all over the world with the same features. Right? So I've got a question then. Why is this happening? Is this associated with the UFOs? Yes, there's been evidence that it's associated with the UFOs. What do we know about these beings? Well, they've got to eat. They are interested in genetics. They're interested in doing all kinds of stuff like that. Where are the UFOs coming from? I believe they're coming from subterranean regions. They're coming from subterranean regions, and they're doing experiments, and they're doing all sorts of stuff on this earth and being caught doing it. Now, is that the only source of these things? No, I believe that this is part of the heavenly places, the realm of the heavenly places. That these things have the ability to move through the dimensions. When we are told that we have got a ministry to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, how do we have a ministry to principalities and powers? Because they're right here. They're right here. They can observe through the dimensions. They're as good as with us. Well, if they're as good as with us, what about the craft? The craft could come through as well. Now, when I'm talking like this, you must understand a lot of people are deceived in this particular realm. They are deceived in many, many ways. They will say, oh no, these are great friends to humankind, and we must come to them and accept them as having the superior technology, and we must accept them as people who will help us and guide us. They don't want any harm done to the earth. In fact, that's the message that a lot of people get from these things, that we are doing damage to the planet. Oh yeah, what are they doing? What are these things doing? What's their ultimate aim? This is part of the coming great deception, I believe. Part of the deception. And what I'd like to do next time we meet is I'd like to show you some of the deception that's going to come on this earth, which I think will come from the alien visitors, right? The so-called alien visitors, which I don't believe they are alien in the sense that they're coming from some planet. Yes, there's visitations coming from the earth out of subterranean regions and also from other regions which are interdimensional, from the heavenly places, fallen regions. Well, I was going to show you a lot more about this thing here. Look at this passage here. This is in Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Now just notice the way Paul talks about this. Visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. The all things were created by him and for him. That was the intent of the Creator. But some fell away, right? Some were in disobedience. Down here in Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Well, that's the intent, right? That's the intent, that all of us human beings, he would like to see reconciled. But I got a question for you. Are all human beings going to be reconciled to him through the blood of his cross? No. Some are going to say, no, I will not have it. Well, don't you think that's going to be possible for the principalities and powers as well? The other creatures can say no too, right? And so what we're going to see is a difference between the angelic realm, the principalities and powers of fallen and those that are open to listening and open to hearing truth. You're going to see that going on. Now, next time I come, I think I'll give another talk on this. I want to give you a little bit more historical evidence for things that have happened in the past. For example, there was one thing that happened in Nuremberg, where the citizens of the town of Nuremberg came out and looked up in the sky, and the sky was filled with these things. And there was a great battle that was going on over the city. And things fell out of the sky onto the ground. It's all documented. That is in, I'll get the exact date. I haven't got it with me, but I don't want to be inaccurate, so I'll give you the exact date next time. But it was in the past, and my question is, well, where are these bits and pieces that fell from the craft, right? There was something that happened at Roswell as well, right? There's a big famous one, the Roswell ones, Socorro as well. There are things in Brazil that happened. The crafts were taken. And people saw them. There was a case where a craft was taken on the back of a truck right through the main city. It was taken right through the city. When the Roswell thing happened, the Air Force actually said it was a flying saucer. Originally, the first thing they said was it was a flying saucer. Then they suddenly changed their mind. Got a bit repentant. Well, we'll talk about this a little bit more next time. I've opened a can. There's a few worms in there. So next time what we'll do is we'll open it up a little bit more and maybe close it down a little bit as well. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for the scriptures, Lord, that it can bring some light, Lord, to these discussions. And Lord, we ask that as we consider the world we're in, we thank thee for the salvation that we have in Christ. And though terrible things are going to happen on this earth that have not happened in the past ever, nor will they happen again, so severe they are, Lord, we thank thee for the life we have in Christ. And we pray for our relatives and friends that we could make this truth made known to them in clarity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.